Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we invite you in for the continuation of our teaching series centered on Bob's study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, based, of course, on Bob's book of the same title. And if you don't have your copy of the book or the study guide, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link right there on the right-hand side of the homepage, and you'll find them both there. But for right now, it's time to get underway with this great study. Bob, I have really been enjoying it, and I know you've enjoyed giving it, and so let's get started on a brand new one. What do you say?
Let's do. Let's make this happen. We're in Chapter 8 of our Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. The title of this chapter is They're All Gone, and that's the good news as far as our sins are concerned. Jesus Christ took them away once and for all, so they're all gone. They've been dealt with. They've been put behind the back of God. They've been sent away from us as far as the east is from the west. There is just so much good news about this forgiveness issue, but we want to dive even deeper into it. We have five full chapters in the book about forgiveness. That's how important this topic is. We want you to rest in the finished work of Christ. We want you to know that your sins have been forgiven. We want you to know that you are a forgiven person. So that's why we're spending the time that we're doing talking about this subject called forgiveness. And it's important for us to do so because there is a lot of confusion swirling around this particular subject. So today, we're going to ask the question, what does that word mean? What does the word forgiveness mean? So when you say your sins have been forgiven, what does that mean to you? So we've spent a lot of time talking about forgiveness. Now let's take a deep dive into the actual meaning. Now, Bob, when I was writing this book, I did a little research. Wanted to know what the world thinks about forgiveness. How does the dictionary define that word forgiveness or forgive? And so I went to the Merriam-Webster online dictionary, and here's how they define the word forgive. It's to stop feeling angry toward someone who has done something wrong or to stop blaming someone. It also means to stop requiring payment of money. Yeah. So you can forgive someone's debt. So that means that you have balanced the books. They no longer owe you any money. So their balance sheet is clean and your balance sheet is clean. So this is how Merriam-Webster defines the word forgive. Now, it's interesting if you ever look up a word online in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, when you come to the end of the definition, you will see a question there, what made you want to look up this word? Mm-hmm. Well, that question was there, what made you want to look up forgive? And so I clicked that link, and I saw a lot of responses. So 67 people had posted responses on why they were looking up the word forgive. And here are three of the comments that caught my attention. Forgive is a verb. Verbs require action. So to forgive means that I will actually have to put forth effort. I haven't learned how to forgive yet, but I want to. So there's one reason that was given for why they looked up the definition. Here's another one. I read the definition of the word forgiveness first because I'm struggling with the idea of forgiveness. The definition is to forgive, so I looked up this definition, and I am none the wiser. I cannot fathom how to even begin to forgive. I don't believe in God and have absolutely no interest in religious righteousness, so I feel doomed to be destined to a life of being a mean, belligerent, and expletive deleted.
Oh, my.
So that was one person's kind of drive to look up the word forgive. Here was a third one. I wanted to know if I had forgiven others, if I knew what the meaning was. And it seems like I don't have a forgiving bone in my body. I resent to the core those that have wronged or have wounded me. So you can see there's lots of reasons that people go to the dictionary to look up particular words, mm-hmm. and specifically to look up this word forgive, because they know it's an important issue. They know that it's something that they should extend to someone else, and They know it's something that they probably need in their own lives. But when they look at the dictionary and see the definition, they come away even more confused. Yeah. They're still not sure what that word means. So these comments are very revealing, and as I said a minute ago, confusion swirls around the concept of forgiveness. People seem to be unsure as to what it really means, and even more, how to carry it out in life. So if we're going to know anything about forgiveness, we're going to have to go to the source of forgiveness, and that is God Himself. And so to find that out and to get a little more information, we're going to take a look at a passage in Mark's Gospel in chapter 2. And this may be a familiar story to you. You may have read it to underscore the deity of Christ, Christ's authority here on earth as God. But it reveals something about the nature of forgiveness. So let's dive in, read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. So Jesus had been out. He had done quite a number of miracles, a number of healings. He returned back to Capernaum. That was his ministry headquarters, so right. to speak. That was his hometown as far as an adult. He chose that as his place. And so when he came back, he was in a house and people started flooding in. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus perform some miracles. And so many people gathered, there was no more room for another person in that household. And it says he was preaching the word to them. And then they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. So four men bring their friend who is paralyzed. They have him on a cot or something that they're carrying him, and they want to get in to see Jesus. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. So these guys were bound and determined to get their friend in front of Jesus. So they went up on the roof, they tore a hole in the thatched roof, and they lowered their friend down on this bed that they had brought him in. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now, that's an odd response as far as this story goes. Yeah. This man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. He was on a bed. His friends wanted healing for him so that he could get up and walk and join them in their activities. But when Jesus saw this gentleman, he looked at him and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Yeah. So here's the story. So the paralytic, he's with his four friends. They lower him down. He's in front of Jesus. Jesus said, "My son, your sins are forgiven," because that's the real issue. That was the real problem that this particular gentleman had. He needed his sins forgiven. Now, those sins didn't necessarily correlate as to why he was paralyzed, but Jesus, looking at the heart, said, "I want to release this person from the power of sin and death. I want to extend forgiveness." And when he did, when he made that statement, the religious leaders started thinking, who is this guy?
Yeah, right.
How in the world can he, a mere man, claim to have authority to forgive sins? Well, we're going to answer that right when we come back from this short break.
Beyond the spiritual application, I wonder who fixed the roof.
I'm sure maybe Joseph. Jesus' stepdad.
Yeah. Well, you know, Fridays are fun days around Basic Gospel because we get to do these studies, and this one has been a marvelous study so far. Hope you're enjoying it, friends. And we are working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and we hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing. And if you miss, of course, any of the weekly sessions along the way, you can find them in the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching, and we hope you'll share them with your family and friends. All the sessions are there for you and anyone you'd like to share them with. If you don't have a copy of the study guide, you can order it and the book, as a matter of fact, directly off the archive page. And again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, remember, friends, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we really appreciate every one of you who has given to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in the Lord Jesus. So as you're able, please visit basicgospel.net and join us in supporting Basic Gospel. We want to say thank you for supporting this ministry by sending you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. That's our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel. And again, you can make your gift now or any time at basicgospel.net. But now, in a hurry, let's get back to our study.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to go through the questions that we have related to this passage in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. These questions are listed for us on page 56 and 57 of the study guide. So why did the four men bring their friend to Jesus? Well, he was paralyzed, and they wanted Jesus to heal their friend. Now, how determined were they to get their friend in front of Jesus? I would say they were very determined, determined that they climbed up on the roof. They created a hole in the roof, and they lowered their friend down in front of where Jesus was. Yeah. So they were bound and determined to get their friend in front of Jesus. Now, when Jesus saw him, what did he say to him? My son, your sins are forgiven. Now, that's exactly what Jesus says to you, isn't it? When you come to Christ, when you receive the good news that Jesus died for your sins in accordance with Scripture, that Jesus was buried and that Jesus was raised back to life on that third day in accordance with Scriptures, when you receive that good news, when you receive Him, He says to you, my son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. Now, if Jesus says that, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. You don't have to question it anymore. You don't have to scratch your head in doubt and wonderment. He puts all doubt aside with this singular statement, your sins are forgiven. Now, how did the religious leaders respond to that? What were they thinking as this passage reveals? And it's basically this. They were thinking Jesus was committing blasphemy because he was claiming to have the authority to forgive sins. Now, back in the Old Testament, we see a number of passages about God's authority to forgive sins as that being a part of his loving nature. If God is a loving God, it means God is a forgiving God. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, we read this passage, you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. So these Jewish leaders, they understood the nature and the character of God, that he was a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And what these religious leaders were seeing in Jesus was this character. Mm-hmm. They were seeing in Jesus a forgiving God. They were seeing in Jesus a gracious and compassionate God. They were seeing in Jesus one who was slow to anger and abounding in love. And it didn't make sense to them that this man with human flesh who was born in Bethlehem, who grew up in Nazareth, and now was living in Capernaum. It didn't make sense to them that this man could express and exemplify the same essence, the same qualities, the same characteristics of God the Father that had been revealed in the Old Testament. But there they were seeing it. So instead of making the conclusion or drawing a conclusion that this Jesus and the Father were one, that this Jesus was probably exactly who he was claiming to be, they accused him of blasphemy. Now, Jesus said he perceived what they were saying, and he said, "Why do you question these things in your heart?" Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." So what did Jesus want to prove in this particular story? Well, he wanted to prove that he has the authority to forgive sins. And in making that case, in making that statement, he wanted people to connect the dots that he indeed was the long-awaited Messiah, right, that he truly was the Son of God, the Son of Man, and that he was the radiance, the exact expression of God the Father in a human suit. Now, did the Jewish leaders respond favorably to that? Absolutely not. They didn't respond favorably to that at all. As a matter of fact, this is probably where they started scheming and plotting a way to get rid of this Jesus, because they didn't believe in their hearts whatsoever that he was indeed the Messiah. So what was the good news for the paralytic? The good news was this, that his sins were forgiven. And how did the crowd respond to Jesus's teaching? They glorified God. They were amazed, and they said, "We've never seen anything like this." When you encounter Jesus, here's the truth: you will never encounter anyone like him. When you see the miracle of new birth that he performs in your life, you will never experience a miracle like that. Yeah. And when he says to you, "Your sins are forgiven," he has the authority to say it. And because he said it, it's true.
Yes.
Your sins are forgiven. That's good news, isn't it?
That is wonderful news. Thank you for sharing it, Bob. And friends, you're listening to a study edition of Basic Gospel as Bob Christopher is teaching through our study guide based on his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we want to invite you to join Bob online Sunday morning live, Sunday mornings 9:30 Central on either Facebook or YouTube. And to make it easy, our stalwart tech guy, Greg, has placed direct links both to both platforms at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. And again, that's Sunday mornings live, 9:30 Central, and you can join Bob online. We look forward to that every Sunday morning, and we hope that you're joining us also. But right now, you're listening to Basic Gospel, and we continue with this exciting study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So if Jesus says to you, and he has, if you're a believer in Christ, these words are his words to you: "My son, your sins are forgiven." Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that your sins are forgiven? What did God actually do to forgive you? So let's explore the biblical concept of forgiveness. Now, the main Greek word for forgiveness is this Greek word, aphiemi. And according to the Complete Word Study Dictionary, the primary meaning is to send forth or to send away or to let go from oneself. It also means to dismiss or to put away, to let go from one's power or possession, to let go free, to remove, to let go from one's further notice, care, attendance, occupancy. That fits right into the fourth promise of the new covenant, that God is going to remember our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So he's taking no further notice of our sins. Why? Because the cross worked. Because Jesus' blood was sufficient to take away our sins once and for all. So when we look at this Greek word, it's actually used in the New Testament 133 different times. Mm. And of those 133 times, it's only translated forgive or forgiveness in 36 of those occurrences. So how is it translated in other passages? Well, that's an interesting story. For example, in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 13, do you know how the word aphiemi is translated?
I have no idea.
It is translated divorce.
Oh.
Or put away. So this is a chapter about marriage, and he says to the husbands, do not put away your wives, or do not divorce your wives. That's what that word means. So what does Jesus do as far as our sins are concerned? He divorces us from our sins.
Interesting.
We came into this world under the power of sin and death. We were married to sin. Sin was our master, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6. Well, what does Jesus do in forgiving us? He severs that tie. He severs that relationship. He puts sin away from us so that we could be joined to another, Christ Jesus himself. Take hold is another way that this word is translated. When Mary is trying to cling to Jesus in the garden after he had been raised from the dead, he said, don't cling to me, or don't take hold of me. That's this word, forgiveness. So there's lots of ways it is used, and when we look at all the different ways it is used, we get a really broad understanding and a big picture of what forgiveness actually is. And the first thing, based on this definition, is the fact that God removes our sins from us. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this particular passage, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is Jesus Christ taking our sins from us and then bearing those sins in his body. So he's removed the sins from us, and he became sin on our behalf, so that in exchange we might become the righteousness of God. So we were under the condemnation of sin and death. Those sins were attached to us with Velcro. They were hard to pull off.
Yeah.
But Jesus removed them from us. He placed those sins in his body, and he died in our place. So the first thing that forgiveness means is the fact that Jesus Christ has removed our sins from us. He has put them away once and for all. He has divorced us from that old relationship that we had with sin and death. Now, Jesus said in John 8:34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That was our relationship to sin before knowing Christ. When we receive Christ, our sins had been removed, mm-hmm. so that we could be set free, so that we could be joined to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot more to this, and we're
going to
get
is.
Into that next week as we continue this study. In this chapter, they're all gone. Mm. That's good news.
That's good news. And it has been an encouraging study, Bob, and thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition, the study edition of Basic Gospel. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net, and we're going to send you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. We hope you'll make your gift today at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. You can link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, that, of course, as always, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for another week at Basic Gospel, everybody. Have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see you again on Monday for another edition. Take care now. Bye-bye.